Welcome to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers. And April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, recognizing the importance of families and communities working together to prevent instances of child abuse and neglect. To honor the month-long observance, Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center, a nationally accredited children's advocacy center that provides hope and healing to children who have experienced sexual abuse and neglect, and two of its partner agencies joining me this morning to share information in a collective about the collective role we can all play to prevent child abuse. We're going to speak this morning about Child Abuse Prevention Month with Maureen Mo Bassenberg, the Executive Director of Safe Passage, Katina Jones, the Children, Youth, and Family Services Director for the El Paso County Department of Human Services, as well as Jan Isaacs-Henry, Executive Director of Kid Power. Let's start things off with Mo. Mo, thank you so much for joining us here on The Extra, and let's get a little bit of background information and the important work you do over at Safe Passage.
Absolutely, Andrew. Thank you very much for having us on this morning. So Safe Passage has served our community, served as our community's child advocacy center since 1994, so 29 years as of April, actually. We are a non-for-profit organization that provides, as you said, hope and healing for children who have experienced abuse, and we do that by coordinating the multi-system response that ensures child safety.
Yeah, and when it comes to building that multi-level approach and really that kind of partnership, just over about a year and a half ago, you guys opened the first co-located Children's Advocacy Center. And let's talk a little bit about how that's been able to help increase awareness as well as the services you're able to provide here across the Pikes Peak region.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the word co-location is one we often mention, but it's important to understand really the commitment our community has made to our children. Really what co-location means is that all of the key agencies responsible for responding to a child's outcry of abuse, we're in one shared space, and we make sure that children who've experienced abuse are the true focus of our efforts.
Absolutely. It's kind of a, you know, centralized hub to take care of everything. And when it comes to some of those other partner agencies, who are you working with to make sure that all of those various needs for children who are experiencing abuse can be handled in one centralized location?
Yeah. So our partners that are co-located with us in our model of care are, of course, Safe Passage, our agency, the Colorado Springs Department Child Crimes Unit. So that's two squads of detectives that are solely investigating child crimes in Colorado Springs. The El Paso County Sheriff's Office, their Special Victims Unit, has a presence there. El Paso County Department of Human Services, who you'll hear from in a little bit. UC Health, their forensic nursing program, is on site. The Family Center is our community-based mental health partner. And then Kid Power, who you also will hear from shortly.
Absolutely. And each of these different agencies do play a specific role, whether it comes to investigating or the care afterwards when it comes to instances of child abuse and neglect, right?
Yeah, that's right. So these agencies really support kids and families in what we call a continuum of care. You know, this is from the initial investigation response focused on understanding the crime that may have happened, you know, all the way to individualized advocacy, support for families, specialized medical care, trauma-informed mental health services, and then opportunities to reclaim physical and psychological boundaries.
Yeah, and I think we all, you know, have a pretty clear understanding, especially when it comes to, you know, that sexual abuse or even some extreme cases of physical abuse. But what are some other cases of child abuse or especially neglect that many people may not realize classify and need that call for help?
Sure. So, I mean, other abuse that children can face could be neglect. So families not tending to a child's needs. Also, sometimes we see instances of emotional abuse. And so, you know, really families that are more psychologically traumatizing their children. And so certainly kids in our community face, you know, an array of potential harm.
Yeah, and when it comes to, you know, anyone, maybe they are seeing something, whether it be a neighbor within the family, something like that, if somebody suspects either neglect or abuse when it comes to a child at risk, what should they do?
Sure. So we encourage that, you know, folks call the Colorado Child Abuse and Neglect Hotline. That's 1-844-CO-4KIDS or 1-844-264-5437.
And specifically when it comes to the services you offer here in Southern Colorado, how can people get more information about everything you do through Safe Passage?
Yeah, so our website's a great resource for the community, and that's www.safepassagecac.org.
Absolutely. Well, Mo, we appreciate your time and joining us here on KRDO News Radio. We're going to continue talking about everything involving Child Abuse Prevention Month. Of course, that is coming up this April. Still ahead right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We're continuing to talk about National Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is April, just a few days away. We're joined now by Ketania Jones, the Children, Youth, and Family Services Director for the El Paso County Department of Human Services. Welcome to The Extra. Thank you so much for joining us here. And let's talk a little bit about the work that the county's DHS does when it comes to this continuum of care and providing much-needed services.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. As many people are aware, DHS has a range of supports for our community, and we work to protect those who are most vulnerable in our community. My division, which is Children, Youth, and Family Services, is focused on child protection for those children experiencing abuse or neglect.
Yeah, and you know, I'm assuming a lot of the first reports of abuse or neglect are reported through DHS or maybe passed on to DHS from law enforcement. So what are the steps once that kind of case or suspected case of abuse is reported? What happens after that?
Sure. Well, we assess the matter to see what appropriate response and supports are needed regarding the particular concern of abuse or neglect. We have what we call enhanced screening at the point of the hotline call. So we use a specific process called review, evaluate, and determine after that. And from that, if safety thresholds need to be addressed, a caseworker will be assigned to assess with the family.
Yeah, and what are some of the, you know, more common misconceptions that people have once that caseworker gets involved? Because I assume a lot of the families just kind of jump to the worst case scenario right away.
Sure. We strive to support families and honor child safety in the lowest level possible, which means keeping the kids and families together when it's safe to keep kids and families together. Often we resource kin or kin-like that's been identified by the parents to help with that support. So we are here to figure out what that whole family needs to keep that child safe.
And what are some of these signs of abuse or neglect that a community member should be on the lookout for, you know, if you're maybe spending time with family members or, you know, close friends, things like that?
Well, firstly, we don't expect the public to know what abuse or neglect specifically looks like. They only need to have a concern for a child based on their observation. Anyone in the community can help prevent child abuse and neglect, especially by reporting incidents and information of concern.
And when it comes to those incidents of concern, things like that, is there kind of like maybe a threshold that you would advise people to be on the lookout for and say, hey, if you see it, you know, kind of cross this line, that's probably when you should make a call?
Well, we use specifically 5 safety thresholds as a baseline criteria. And for us, we're looking for a specific and observable threat. So the danger is real and can be seen and reported. Maybe community members or family members witness some real, what we call out of control behaviors, where there's family conditions that are just unrestrained or unmanaged, and it's really severe and they need some support. And also keeping in mind the age of a child, maybe even the agency, how much that child can protect themselves. Clearly, in some incidences, not all, it's going to look a little bit different from a 14-year-old and a 2-year-old. And again, this kind of gets in the weeds, so we don't want community members to feel the need to remember these safety thresholds. This is what we then filter and figure out if it meets these thresholds. If you notice something that just has a potential of severe harm or even moderate harm, make a phone call and let us figure that out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you really hit it on the head there as far as that kind of different level as far as the age of the child as well, because as you mentioned, things are definitely different when it comes to, you know, an infant, toddler, small child up to a teenager as well.
That's correct.
Yeah, and you know,
and again, that's not for all types of abuse. There are many types of abuse, so that might not be the case for sexual abuse.
Yeah, and, you know, we also know that overall parenting can be pretty stressful. You know, I can attest to that as having two very young children as well. So what advice do you have for parents who are starting to feel maybe that, you know, extra stress, maybe overstimulated, overwhelmed, kind of with these especially younger children at home?
I would say reach out to an individual in your life. Look to a network of supports. That might be family for some people. For others, it might be a church community, a military community, if that applies, or even a neighbor. Those are just some examples of reaching out. Don't be ashamed that you're in a space or a place of feeling overwhelmed, maybe even frustrated. This is arguably a part of the parenting journey, but going at it without natural supports does not have to be a part of that journey.
Absolutely. And we know the state has reported that year over year calls to the neglect and abuse hotlines are up. And that also kind of assumes that there was a little bit of a dip previously. And why did we see a little bit of a decline in some of those reports recently?
Well, we guesstimate that the numbers dipped when we were mostly still at home and not back to regular in-person lifestyle at that time. So we weren't around one another. Children had less opportunity to be in front of a mandated reporter. So that's what we guesstimate.
Absolutely. And kind of with that, is that also explaining that now it's almost back to a quote-unquote normal? We're around those mandatory reporters again, and that's why we're starting to see that increase in calls coming back?
Yes, it is reasonable to speculate that the numbers are now at an upward trajectory because we are, for the most part, back to doing everything in person. So we're around each other more. Therefore, we observe and notice things when we're together in common places.
Absolutely. And, you know, it does kind of take, you know, that village, as you mentioned, as far as reaching out, having that support system as well. And what are some other kind of misconceptions that people have when it comes to that kind of idea as far as making sure that you are getting the support needed for parenting? Is there still kind of a stigma as far as reaching out and asking for help?
There is. I think, you know, there's a bit of shame that's attached to being really frustrated or really just not knowing what to do or how to do it. Whether you're a new parent or a parent of, you know, several children, it's hard to admit that you don't know what to do. And really, we just need to erase that and embrace that, you know, part of that parenting journey, as I said before, is frustration and not knowing what to do and reaching out and finding supports where you wouldn't normally look for supports. Some of us will automatically go to those that are in our household, and sometimes we need to go outside of those that are in our household.
Yeah, it's definitely something that there's really no training manual that they give when you do start having kids. It's not like you go to maybe a pre-birthing class or go to the hospital and they say, here's the baby, here's the manual, here's what you need to do, step X, Y, Z. So it really is kind of that on-the-job training that is already stressful enough. And really, having that support is so crucial to make sure that everyone is taken proper care of and really safe and protected at home.
That's true. And, you know, let's pretend we all had the manual and the manual at every stage. The manual cannot prepare us for the emotions and the complexities of life, the complexities of behaviors, as well as we don't know what we don't know in regard to our own responses and reactions to different stressors, especially when those stressors pile up.
Absolutely.
And when, you know, our children are going through things themselves and their stressors. And so, you know, even if we have the magic manual, it still doesn't really honor what that emotional response is going
to
be.
Yeah, and especially as you're still talking about kids who are still really learning how to handle these complex emotions and things like that as well, too. So it's a lot to get into. It can be very stressful, but there are those resources out there. Again, if people are going around, maybe they see something that just kind of gives them that gut feeling that isn't right. How can people go about making sure that some of the proper, you know, channels are alerted to make sure that that family, that that parent gets the support and the child gets the safety that they need?
Absolutely. It's to call the Colorado Child Abuse and Neglect Hotline, which is 1-844-CO-4KIDS or 1-844-264-5437.
And are the calls anonymous to the Child Abuse and Neglect Hotline?
Yes, all referrals are confidential, and Colorado law also protects people from liability if they make a report in good faith. Reports may be made anonymously as well.
Yeah, it's very important.
We rely on those calls to the hotline to help ensure children are safe and families get the support that they need.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate the time and everything you and everyone over at the county's DHS does. And again, that phone number one more time, 1-844-CO-4KIDS. We have to take a short break, get up to speed with our top national and international headlines here on The Extra. We're going to continue talking about the resources that are out there as we mark National Child Abuse Prevention Month this April. That and more on The Extra still ahead right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We are continuing to talk about Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is April, just a few days away, as well as the continuum of care and options that are available out there going on throughout the area. We talked a lot about the on the first half of the show about what child abuse is, some of the kind of starting points to get a lot of those resources. Now we are joined here on The Extra by Jan Isaacs-Henry, the Executive Director of Kid Power. Jan, thank you so much for joining me here on KRDO News Radio. And can you talk to a little bit to about what Kid Power does and how you fit into that continuum of care?
Sure. Good morning, Andrew, and thank you for having us. Kid Power is a nonprofit organization. We were established in Colorado in 1994, like Safe Passage. And we teach kids, teens, and their adults personal safety and confidence building skills. We actually call it people safety because really it's skills to be safe with and around other people. And our mission is to reduce young people's risk of abduction, assault, and emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. So at Kid Power, we focus both on prevention and intervention, which means we want to be able to teach young people and their caregivers practical skills to prevent harm before it ever happens. But we also want to be there for survivors to help them heal after abuse has already occurred.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, regain some of that, you know, confidence, some of that agency that they feel they may have lost along the course of that abuse. You said you work on these courses with kids as young as 3. And how does that kind of training look like as you go throughout the different stages of a child's development?
Well, truthfully, the skills are the same whether we're 6 or 106 years old. It's the context that drastically changes because, of course, if you are a toddler, what you're going to be able to understand and how we're going to need to be able to reach and teach a toddler is going to be very different than if they are a teenager and dealing with, for example, online abuse or online harassment, right? So we customize our classes so that we can be there and be applicable to whatever stage or age we're dealing with.
Yeah, and when it comes to these kind of training courses, you know, how especially does this kind of education really prevent that child abuse from taking place in the first part?
You know, we can't just expect kids to automatically know how to be safe from abuse. These are really tricky situations, and the people that offend do it in ways that are very confusing to kids. And so just like kids learn other skills, math, music, science, art, we need to actually teach kids the skills to be safe and then practice those skills, just like in all of those other arenas. And the way that we do it in Kid Power is a way that isn't fear-based or scary, but that is empowering. So in our classes, students learn to be safe with people that they don't know, but also with people that they do know, because what we know is that most abuse happens with people kids know. 90 to 95% of the abuse that happens to kids is with people that they know. Of that 90%, about a third of those are family members, but the other two-thirds are people kids routinely come into contact with. So that could be neighbors or family friends, clergy, babysitters, coaches, teachers, lots of other kinds of people, and also other kids. And often it's people that kids know and trust. And so what we want to be teaching kids is first and foremost to recognize what is and what's not safe. And then we want to teach them how to set good, clear boundaries, both with people they don't know and with people they do know. And we want to teach them how to be able to get help, how to tell a trusted adult, how to have the language to be able to do that if they feel unsafe or they hear about something that's unsafe, and then persist in telling until they get the help that they need.
Yeah, and what are some of the specific classes that you offer to help kind of with that training goal?
Sure. So like you and I were talking about earlier, we want to divide those courses up by age. So we offer school-based programs and programs also where families can sign up and come to us, and they often come to us from throughout the state. So we are in most of our local school districts. And we have Starting Strong workshops for 4 to 6-year-olds and their parents. We have school-based programs for elementary schools, as well as our weekend family workshop, which is at elementary school age. And then we have teen power workshops for our teens.
Yeah. And if, you know, somebody's listening, you know, say a parent is listening right now, what is the one big thing they could do even, you know, today to make sure that they are setting up their kid on the right path as far as recognizing the potential dangers out there?
Sure. I think the one thing that parents can do to help keep their kids safe today, it may seem really simple, but it's really critical to our kids' safety, and that is open up those lines of communication. Invite kids to come to you if anything feels unsafe or confusing or worrying. We have something that we call at Kid Power called the Protection Promise, the Kid Power Protection Promise, that adults can make to all kids in their life that they care about. And it really is just an invitation. It's saying to our kids, you are very important to me, and if you have a safety problem, I want to know. Even if I seem too busy, even if someone we know will be upset, even if it's embarrassing, even if you promise not to tell, even if you made a mistake, please tell me, and I will do everything in my power to help you. And many parents think their kids just should know this, but they almost need it as an engraved invitation. Of course, parents can use their own words, but the message is the same. I'm here for you. I'm here for you no matter what. I actually posted this morning on our social media, which is Kid Power CO. If parents want help with the language, again, they can use their own language, but just saying these words to our kids can have a profound effect. It's opening up those lines of communication.
Absolutely. And then, of course, being part of the Safe Passage Children's Advocacy Center, why is this safety training so crucial as a part of that kind of larger continuum care and working with other partner agencies?
Because we want all kids to be safe. And both preventing, again, harm before it ever happens and after something happens, because what we know is that abuse takes away kids' power, and we want to be able to help them find their voices and have new options for the future. So we're part of that continuum of care from prevention to intervention and healing, all available in this one co-located building and in an environment that is designed for kids and families in a child-centered place that is welcoming to kids. And we are part of that hope and healing.
Absolutely. And Jan, if anyone wants to get more information about the classes you offer, everything about Kid Power, what's the best way to get that more that additional information?
Sure. KidPowerCS.org is our website. Our phone number is 719-520-1311, and we're happy at any time to talk with parents, caregivers about our classes.
Perfect. Well, Jan Isaacs-Henry, Executive Director of Kid Power, we really appreciate your time joining us, kind of explaining what you guys do and the important work you are doing to kind of educate our kids as well as to restore some of that agency and self-esteem power to kids who have unfortunately been the victims of abuse.
Thank you so much for having us, Andrew. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. We're going to continue talking with Safe Passage, the whole continuum of care, as we are marking April as National Child Abuse Prevention Month. That's still to come right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We are talking about the continuum of care. Obviously, April, National Child Abuse Prevention Month right now. We are joined once again by Mo Bassenberg, the Executive Director of Safe Passage. And Mo, as we are marking Child Abuse Prevention Month, what would you say to somebody who is suspecting of that child abuse or neglect in a child that they maybe know?
Hi, Andrew. Yeah, thanks for having me back on. So, really, Safe Passage encourages our community to be the eyes and ears for our most vulnerable. Our children need caring adults to make sure that the systems that can help them, help them get to safety, know that help is needed, right? We need our community members to be that link.
Absolutely. And we know that there's, you know, also becoming that growing stigma about calling out. We see our neighborhoods becoming a little bit more isolated. People just drive, you know, into their garage, shut the door, don't really have that interaction or don't want to be labeled something like a Karen right now. So what would you say as far as making sure that people know that this is an important thing? And if you do see something too, reach out and say something.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, our systems are built on having this community connection. And you're right. It's hard nowadays. I mean, we don't visit. We, like you said, we kind of roll into our garage and shut the door and head on in. Right. And, you know, social media also sort of reinforces that. Right. We're in this digital realm rather than, you know, hanging out with our neighbors. And so what we want people to know is that, you know, callers certainly don't need to know every aspect of what a child is facing. As you heard from Katanya earlier, you know, the Colorado Child Abuse and Neglect Hotline really guides callers through understanding the threats a child is facing. What we often say is that each of us only sees a piece of a child's life. When someone calls the hotline, they're sharing the piece that they know, and that lets the system, put together a puzzle. That full picture really takes all of us.
Yeah, and, you know, even as, Katanya mentioned, too, that this is set up where as long as you are making that report within good faith, that really there's no repercussions. It's not like you could all of a sudden be called in for making a false report or anything like that. But what kind of details does somebody need to know before they pick up that call or that phone and call the hotline?
Sure. So it's helpful to relate to them really what they've seen, you know, what they've seen the child experience, what the child might have expressed to them. Sometimes we know that children often maybe share more to their peers. And so it could be that, you know, let's say my daughter's friend shared with my daughter some things going on at home, and then it comes to me, right? And so that's still valuable, even though I didn't directly talk with the kiddo, but, like, you know, getting a better understanding of where the fears and concerns were expressed. Really just sort of that whole picture. Like, I noticed the kiddo had some bruises that didn't make sense with, you know, falling off a bike. You provide what you encounter, and then they take it from there.
Absolutely. And we also know, too, that really this is, you know, it's designed to also provide that support as well. And that's part of that continuum of care and really having that co-location, that kind of centralized hub at Safe Passage, making sure that children who do need the support and, you know, the resources are there, but also to try and help, you know, lift everyone in these situations up, knowing just how stressful, you know, parenting, raising kids can be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, reducing that stigma is a huge part of a community message to say we all need a helping hand sometimes, right? And also for people to remember that they can be that. If you know a family is experiencing some undue stress, maybe an ill family member, a change in a job situation, you know, something that you get wind of that, like, oh gosh, you know, that would stress me out if that was happening to me, you know, just send a text. Hey, do you need anything? Do you want the kiddos to come to my house for the afternoon? You know, be that outreach. Like you said, don't just close that garage door, right? You know, and know, let them know someone's there, even if they don't take you up on it, just that sense of, hey, I'm supported. You'd be surprised what a difference that can make.
Absolutely. And then again, too, knowing, you know, that stress that can come on, you know, what do you, you know, again, let's reiterate that message to the parents that there are those resources out there and that they really aren't doing this alone.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we are all in this together. You know, if you've got a school age kiddo, you know, there's people that care. You know, those are some of our best resources, you know, those teachers and librarians and coaches and caregivers, right? You know, is it your faith community? You know, you'd be surprised where you can find supports around you. And it's okay to reach up your hand and say you need that.
Absolutely. And again, you know, there are so many ways to also reach out, and really it just takes everyone kind of having that community mind, making sure that we are taking care of the most vulnerable in our society, which are oftentimes the kids. Again, if anyone does see something, maybe they want to write it down, save it on their phone. If they maybe have just that kind of, you know, gut uneasy feeling, you know, again, what's the phone number to call out and make that anonymous report?
Sure. So it's 1-844-264-5437.
Absolutely. And Mo, if people want to get more information about the services that you offer at Safe Passage, and again, kind of that starting point for the larger continuum of care, what's the best way to do so?
Sure. So our website has everything you would need to know, and that's safepassagecac.org.
Mo, we appreciate the time and joining us here on KRDO News Radio. Really appreciate everything you do for kids throughout the community. That does it here for The Extra. We have Tom Martino next.